is Davin's Den. Is Davin's Den.
In these times, I feel a little striper.
Striper?
I'm a striper.
Oh, yes.
A little Christian rock band.
Yeah. I remember who they were.
I never bought one single album.
They stunk.
Did they?
That was a nice little riff to get us in.
It was a good riff, but, you know, that, after that, it's all downhill.
I don't know. All right, so we'll educate you first, because we all get those robo-scam calls.
Oh, my God, so many.
Yeah. So we'll tell you how to get rid of them, and then we'll argue, or maybe agree.
No, I think we'll argue.
You think we'll argue?
Yeah.
All right. So there's near... Good time to start with.
You all right?
Yeah.
Good.
If not, the show's over, so... Nearly 31 billion robocalls were placed in the U.S. in 2017, up from the previous record of 29.3 billion in 2016. See? Trump's putting people to work there. You see that? The economy's getting better, Joe. Good shit right there. According to a report by UMail, a call manager and call blocking service. More than 25% of these calls come from scammers looking for victims to defraud of money, identity information, or both, according to a Harris poll conducted on behalf of Truecaller, a caller ID and monitoring service. The survey found that phone scams stole $9.5 billion in 2016,
yeah,
with an average loss of 430 per victim, and there were more than 22 million victims in the U.S. alone. To help stop the bogus calls and texts from getting through, people can put their phone number on the federal Do Not Call registry via its website. You can also do this by calling the registry at, I guess I should read it for the folks.
Yeah.
888-CAR-FOR-KIDS. No, 888-382-1222. That's 888-382-1222, and that's really only for...
Oh, on the Cars for Kids commercial, when the little kid sings, but right before the guy sings, you go, and now the pedophiles! What is... Makes me laugh every time.
I like that.
No, I wouldn't sing that at a church in Pennsylvania. all right. It certainly won't protect you from the many types of unwanted calls, including from political... Yeah, the political campaigns keep on calling.
Yeah, they're allowed.
Debt collectors. Ah, those bastards. And charities.
And it doesn't really work.
And, yeah, well, that... Yeah.
And the solar panel people. These guys, they call me all the time. And I said, listen to me. I don't want a solar panel, a fucking windmill, any of that shit.
You got a coal mine? Unless you're going to put a coal mine in my backyard, I'm not interested. Because I'll tell you right now, you liberal faggot, I'm going to put 5 coal miners to work in my backyard if you can sell me a coal mine. Because I'm doing it for America. Right, Joe?
Yes.
Okay. Got that out of our system.
He just likes their little hats.
You with your gay wind. And your high wardrobe power. Swishy. Give me some coal. Go underground. Kill a canary. That's what men do. That's man do. Power. That's
hard, right. Black chunks. That's what I like.
I want to cough up an Oldsmobile. That's what I want to do. Every morning, I want to cough up an Oldsmobile because I know I'm working then.
Buick is funnier.
I'm not fucking bringing it to the act, stupid.
Oh, my God.
She thought it was funny enough.
I liked it.
Thank you. I don't know if Buick's funny or not.
Yeah, Buick's funnier.
Buick's good.
Than
Buick,
Oldsmobile?
Buick is too... Oldsmobile's too wordy. Buick is funnier.
Buick's...
That's why when in a bit you always use a Buick in it, because it's an image of a big, big car. And
my,
it's a quick...
My bits don't have Buicks because they don't make them anymore. Old shit.
They don't make Oldsmobiles either.
Not exactly.
And they do make Buicks.
Yeah, they do.
Stupid.
I think my wife's got a Buick.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, they do make Buicks.
They still make Buicks. That
up. The new
Nobody
Buick.
Wants to cough up a Buick LaCrosse.
No, it's like that commercial where they're like, oh, is that a Buick? And they think it's like this high-end car. Yeah.
You know what's disturbing me? JCPenney is trying to come back and become mainstream. But you walk into it, and I've seen Goodwill shops that look better than
JCPenney's.
Yeah, the last few times I've been at a JCPenney's, I was like, this is... crap.
Yeah, they need to go quietly into the night.
Yeah, the quality was
terrible. Nobody feels bad about the unemployed JCPenney workers, Joe. Nobody feels bad about the Sears workers.
The Sears workers sucked. You would go into Sears and you would stand online for, and there's these two dopes there that look... Is there a manager around it? Maybe somebody can help.
What, you think your coal miner's great with customer service, too? Sometimes people just aren't good at jobs.
I never thought coal mining and customer service went hand in hand.
Sure. Would you like one lump or two?
Yeah.
You've seen the cartoons.
See a coal miner at the... Can I help you?
Fire in the hole! Yeah. After Mexican night. No more... There you go, see? No more robo. No mo. That's like no homo.
Yeah, I know. It does look like
no
that.
No more romo. Robo. All right.
You'll see yourself out. Gets high praise from many users, including Consumer Reports. It's a cloud-based service that hangs up or blocks illegal robocalls or telemarketer calls. Hiya Partners, H-I-Y-A, partners with smartphone and makers and carriers to offer spam protection to their customers. Its call block security identifies the calls you want to take and blocks numbers and texts you want to avoid for free. So you, Joe, would never be able to get through to me anymore. Oboe Killer is great for...
That's Robo Killer.
Oh.
Oboe Killer. Yeah, we don't like wind instruments. And Oboe Killer will end that.
The orchestra turns.
It's a stupid low-sounding instrument. And it needs to stop.
Yeah. No more Peter and the Wolf. No more. No more.
Yeah, so what's the problem? Why are you guys stopping? Robo Killer.
Like there's a boy.
I like Oboe Killer.
They should put those in fucking coal mines. Get those coal miners back. Kill some of those fucking robots. Robo Killer promises a 90% reduction in the number of unwanted calls you get within the first 30 days of service and sweetens the pot with this. Revenge against those who make these calls. Hey, that's what I do. It uses answer bots with realistic recorded conversational lines to engage the scammer and presumably tie up and waste scammers' time.
That's fucking ridiculous. Yeah, you see, the robots are replacing everything.
Exactly.
Including you, stupid.
When's the president going to promise that I'm still going to have a job?
Yeah, you can be replaced by AI.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I can be.
I know.
But I'm not crying about it. Because why didn't somebody think about me? I'm old. What am I going to do?
I'll
find something else to do.
When the robots get funny, you're both in trouble.
What?
When the robots get funny, you're both in trouble.
Yeah.
Why? We're not. And we still work.
They own it. They nice. Two Jews walk into a bar. They own it.
I put ketchup on hot, greasy, yummy shit. That's Joe's.
Oh.
Where am I? Not going to finish that. A robot can get away with it.
Except when Joe puts the chip in. See?
Funny. I guess R2-D2 will do that, yeah. Joke. See how it works for him.
Why are we not coming back?
Banned.
The waitress banned. Robot. The waitress robot, isn't it, bitch? Always hit it off with the waitress robots.
That doesn't work either.
Yeah.
The waitress robot complained.
Yeah.
Banned.
That's the line. Waitress robot complained. Banned.
The band. I'm picturing the robot arms shaking like, danger, young Will Robinson. Yeah. Banned.
It's the act out that makes the bit complete. Yeah. These and other apps. What? I was late. Started reading again. I got nothing and it all erupted. Can we continue?
Yes.
Trying to educate people.
Here. Yes. Educate away.
You know we're not good at that.
No. These and other apps designed to keep robocalls at bay pretty much rely on one thing. A database of phone numbers that scammers and telemarketers call from that is constantly updated. You can actually Google phone numbers. Like I'll do it like when I get a scam number and then you'll see like a bunch of people have like flagged it and it's like spam and scam.
Yes.
I do that sometimes. Because they like pose as like local numbers.
Yeah.
Like,
yes, they do. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you subscribe to one of these services, it runs the number of the incoming call against that huge list of scam numbers. If it finds a match, the incoming call is shut down before it reaches you. That I like.
That's nice.
Hiya. How you doing?
How's
reported.
It going?
I'm fine, thanks. Reported that for the first quarter of 2018, the hottest area code of the quarter used by scammers was 214, which is Dallas. And this is because it's the home of airlines and popular rackets that involve utilizing the 214 number to pose as a travel agent to convince victims that they'd want a trip. I get those all the time.
I just got a bunch of them.
Yeah. You're not winning shit. Although Steven Tyler would like to see us. You can block the numbers one at a time. But it's time consuming.
Oh, yeah, because you get the call, and I'm like, son of a bitch, and you go in and you block. But they're always changing their numbers. They're always coming through.
Right.
It's a lot of work.
The same bitch keeps calling me. It's driving me nuts.
You could, but iPhone and Android, you can do it. On iPhones, go to your recent calls and tap the blue information icon in the right of the number you want to block. You'll see block this caller at the bottom of the screen. For Android, you do the same thing. You go to recent section of the phone app, long press on the pesky number, and choose block. On some Android, you'll also be given the option of reporting the number as spam. I got to do that because I get calls from the same ones.
Yeah, and the thing is, you block the call, but they don't go away.
No,
yeah.
You know, so you block.
They're like
the call.
Herpes.
Yeah, and it's like the same. It's the same people. It's like the freaking.
I know you. You work for Delta and United.
Yeah, solar panel people. Yeah, they keep calling. I keep blocking. Oh, yeah. And then there's another number that comes in. You know, and it,
so Joe is not about the sun.
No,
there will be no sunshine.
I don't want a solar panel on my house. I'm fine. I'm not for solar energy.
Yeah, besides, you could go to Harry. Dr. Harry Friedman has. He sells solar panels.
He does he?
Yeah, so you can.
When did he start doing that?
A couple years ago. So really? Yeah. So everybody's got a day program. Yeah. So if you need solar panels, Harry's your guy.
Right.
That's not you.
Probably yeah. Harry calling.
That's not you. You'll fucking set a tire fire in your front yard to prove a point. Fuck you, Mother Earth. You and your oxygen and clean air.
Oh, God almighty.
AT&T.
I'm just picturing Joe Holmeson flipping out and ranting in the middle of his nice little, the development he lives in.
Project.
And he's standing out in the middle of the street burning tires.
Let me tell you something. If I was burning tires on my front lawn, my neighbors would look at me and go, this is crazy and aggravating, but not as bad as you were trying to figure out that fucking car alarm of yours.
Oh, yeah.
That, I'm surprised it wasn't run out of the neighborhood on a rail until I finally got the hang of it.
Well, they didn't want you to, you know, go into a heart attack with all that running.
Yeah.
Figured maybe a nice brisk walk would do you good. Yeah. AT&T offers its call protect and mobile security services free on all postpaid lines. It doesn't completely block spam or telemarketer calls, but identifies those calls as suspected spam and gives you the option to block those numbers in the future. And users can manually block any numbers they'd like. Sprint offers a premium caller ID service for $2.99 a month that identifies phone numbers not in your contact list. It flags robocalls and spammers and assigns a threat level to give you an indication of how suspect the call might be. Sprint doesn't automatically block any calls you could say it strongly suggests that you might not want to answer. T-Mobile has Scam ID and Scam Block program free for all postpaid customers. A program with enhanced service is available for $4 a month. Scam ID automatically identifies no nuisance callers when your phone rings. You don't have to install or sign up for anything. To turn on Scam Block, dial #ONB, and then parentheses, #662 from your T-Mobile phone. Verizon Wireless Caller ID program costs $2.99 a month and identifies suspected junk calls and lets you block or report those numbers. The FCC has asked that major carriers step up their game and respond to consumer requests to block robocalls, but they're not really doing a good job of it.
No, not whatsoever.
But you might not want to block every robocall, because if you block them all, like for instance, our school calls, like when there's a weather situation,
right,
or there's something where kids are getting let out early. Third-party call blocking apps work like this. A blacklist is a basic access control mechanism that allows everyone access except for those on the blacklist. The opposite of that is a whitelist, which gives no one access except those on the whitelist. It's important to know which robocall apps you want to let through.
Now, why did it have to get all racist?
Why is the blacklist wrong?
Some phones are smarter than others, Joe. iPhone users get more scam calls than Android users do. 29% more, as a matter of fact. Umail says the issue is how the iPhone's operating system handles block calls, which makes it difficult for blocking apps to fully implement their blacklist for block calls or whitelist for calls that should go through. If you have an iPhone, you want to use a third-party app to block unwanted calls. You have to enable it in your settings, giving the app caller ID permissions before it can work. You can also buy an even smarter phone, Samsung's recent Galaxy S. Smartphones and Google Pixel and Pixel 2 automatically flag suspected spam calls in the phone app as they come in. And the Google phones, the entire screen turns red to warn you if a known spammer is dialing you. That's good. Even on the less smartphones, Android, you can put your phone on the Do Not Disturb mode and allow phone calls from numbers in your contact list. Of course, this requires that you keep updating your list. And, you know, you want to make sure your numbers are up to date. But the thing that you should never do is don't ever let on that you're human. So you don't pick it up. Never. That's the thing that you do. You don't pick it up. Don't blow a whistle, because then they know this is a real person that lives there.
And then you get sold.
Exactly. Like the whore I am. And they'll just keep on trying with different phone numbers. So the best thing you do is just let it go to voicemail.
Yeah.
But you never want to say hello. And we've talked about this before. Because sometimes they're recording you.
And you don't want to say yes.
Right. same type of thing, because then they could put that recording in something else and put you in type of some scam that you're unaware of, making you, well, he agreed to this.
Yeah.
And so never answer. So that's basically it. So I've noticed an increase in robocalls.
Oh, mine is exponential. I can't believe how many I've been getting. And it's just, I don't get calls from any humans. I robocalls all day long.
I try not to answer them. Once in a while I fuck up, but I'm pretty good at, like, if it says a city, that's pretty much how I know now. So say it says Jacksonville, Florida, or Orlando, Florida, or something like that, I don't call.
Yeah, I don't
pick it up.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the city's going to call me.
Well, I get random people, and they have the same area code and first three digits as my own phone number, and I know those people are all fake.
Yes. I did do the do not to call list when it first came out. It's a limited. It doesn't go forever, so you got to keep updating it like every couple of years.
Yeah, I did.
And it didn't really, it's not really all it should be.
No, I re-upped on my cell number, and I still get a billion robocalls.
I might try some of this stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna too.
I'm holding on to the sheet because it's getting really bad.
Yeah,
you can
really
also
is.
Keep on replaying the podcast. Listen to my voice walk you through it.
Oh God.
That was unnecessarily hurtful.
He's a very unnecessarily hurtful human being.
No.
Actually, I think that's the subtext of our whole show. Unnecessarily
wordy.
Hurtful.
But wordy. Like a Buick.
No, that was more the Oldsmobile of the...
All right, we'll do some School of Fools. They're getting rid of analog clocks. So we'll do some of this.
A fool.
Alrighty then. So, schools in the United Kingdom are beginning to remove analog clocks from the classroom because students are complaining that they can't read them. Officials have begun replacing the traditional clocks with digital ones, as children have been unable to tell correct time on analog clocks. The current generation aren't as good at reading the traditional clock face as older generations. Malcolm Trobe, Deputy General Secretary at the Association of School and College Leaders in England. How are you going to fucking put that on a lapel? Told the publication. Nearly everything they've got is digital, so youngsters are just exposed to time being given digitally everywhere. According to a report from the Times Educational Supplement, a weekly newspaper for teachers in the UK, one educator said during a conference in London that many high schools were only able to tell time on digital devices. It's amazing the number of students I am coming across in year 10, 11, and 6th form who do not know how to tell time. We live in a world where everything is digital. We are moving towards a digital age, and they do not necessarily have analog watches anymore, and they have mobile phones with the time on it. A 2017 survey in Oklahoma City found that only 1 in 10 children in the city between the ages of 6 and 12 owned a watch. Of that number, only 1 in 5 knew how to read analog watches. I think the exposure to technology, everyone's so used to seeing digital, Caitlin Carnes of the Boys and Girls Club at Santa Fe South Elementary told the site. They all have cell phones and tablets, so they don't look at a clock very often. That's analog. So what do you guys think? They should swap out clocks or not?
How about since they're in a school where they, I don't know, every once in a while they teach things?
No,
how about they teach them how to do
it? I think that's the initial go-to because you're old. But if you think about it, it's a dead fucking technology. You know, we don't learn how to tell time by the sundial. You know why? Because we came up with an analog clock. So shit's moving on.
Yeah.
If you think about it, I mean, everything we have is digital. It's a lot simpler.
Yeah.
Now, you need to teach the concept of time, like a quarter to means 15 minutes before the hour and stuff like that.
Right.
But to really use an analog clock, even Big Ben's out of service right now. I mean...
Big Ben's out of service?
Yeah, they're fixing Big Ben.
Oh.
They're going to put a big Seiko digital watch on it.
No,
but,
no, well,
no, but they've been fixing it. You know what? I don't think my daughter can tell time.
Okay.
She looks at the microwave instead of the clock.
Well, because it's easier.
It's easier.
Yes.
And they're right. Everything most people don't wear watches anymore. We do because we're old.
Right. But,
you know, most people, they just look at their phone.
Yeah, I know it's going away. I still think that it's good to know. Because
why? Because they're old.
Because there are other places that still have them around.
But if everybody moves to that gradually.
Yeah, they're going to.
Then why?
I don't know. I just think it would be. You know, the same reason I think that it's a bad idea to not teach cursive. Nobody will be able to read anything that's older.
Well, I get, that's interesting. That's an interesting point, because like if you're talking about like old letters.
Yeah.
That's interesting. But if you think of it, but you know, you can always translate that shit.
Yeah, there'll be scholars that can read
the
stuff.
Yeah, let's be honest. Cursive is fucking sloppy. It's harder to read.
Harder to write, too. I used to, when I was in elementary school, you would have to write, you'd have to write cursive. And if you learn how to write cursive correctly, you'd get a pen. You'd be able to write in pen. I've been writing pencil right through fucking college.
But they're not really teaching cursive that much. Like, my daughter knows how to use it, but they don't really enforce it. Most of the writing is either on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, everybody has a computer now.
Yeah.
Everybody has a computer. Or they write print. Mm-hmm. Cursive's another thing. You know what? It's time we fucking evolve. We were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
We're moving forward. Why? Because we're old and we want to hold on to that shit? You know what? If the kids can't read it, I could teach them other shit.
If the kids can't read it and it's not really around to use.
Right.
You know, what's the big deal? Oh, I can't believe they can't read a clock like... But are they ever going to really be using a clock like that?
That's yeah, I point. Guess.
We could. I mean, because there's only so much time in the day to teach kids shit.
And you got to you got to know when how much time you have.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but,
the clock.
But how many times do they have to teach them that? It's not something that you have to keep going over.
No, but you know, it's a hard concept.
Yeah, no, I get that.
So, you know what? I mean, I think the gut is to act like old woman Helix over there and go, no, these kids are going to learn it, but I'm very impressed by Joe's progressive views on this.
Well, it's like, should we teach them how to use a rotary dial phone? You know?
Might encounter one.
No, but those are really, really dead technology. There's still lots of analog clocks around.
There are, and old people like us buy them because we think they look cool.
But you know what? Mm-hmm. If you're interested, if you're a young person and you're interested in an analog clock and you think they're cool, you'll learn how to use it.
I suppose so.
Yeah, you can start introducing civics at that age, which is something we don't teach anymore, which is something we could definitely use.
Yeah. We could definitely use that.
Yeah, so you know what? I'm fine with it. Don't fucking teach telling time. Get rid of the stupid clocks and the buildings. That's fine. Most places you go have a digital clock now anyway.
Oh, just leave them. Leave them there. Don't move them. Just leave them there. This is how you read the clock. If you want to know what the analog time is, look at the analog.
Class is over when I tell you it's over.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I used to roll.
You know.
I mean, how are the kids going to tell like half past the cow's ass, quarter to its balls? They don't know that joke now.
I told you guys I didn't learn how to tell time.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, no, I didn't tell you that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I was in fifth grade, we had standardized tests. And part of the standardized tests were, you know, they showed you a clock and they said write down what time it was. Or they told you the time and they said draw the arms on the clock so it looks like that. Draw the hands. And so I couldn't do any of them. And so the teacher said to my father, you know, Pip can't tell time. And he goes, of course
you
can.
Who's Pip? I don't have
Who gives a shit? That ain't my kid.
That ain't my kid. What's this type of bullshit is this? Why are you wasting my time?
Calling me home
from the post office for this nonsense.
Oh, never mind. But he said, what are you talking about? She knows how to tell time. So he said, come here. And he had this little alarm clock that was Big Ben. That's what it said on it. And he goes, what time does this say? And I'm like, I don't know.
It says Big Ben, Dad.
He goes, what do you mean you don't know? And I'm like, I don't know what that says. And he goes, I ask you what time it is in the morning, and you tell me. We had one of those early clocks that had
the rolling numbers.
Shugunk.
That would go clunk, and
the numbers would
pop
down. That's
what they called it in the 70s, new technology.
Yes. Yeah, well, it was not digital, but it was like the numbers came.
Yeah.
They were plastic tiles. So that's how I told time. Nobody taught me.
So why are you coming down on today's kids when you were cutting corners back then, too, you creep?
Well, I didn't know, but nobody taught me.
But you didn't need to know it.
I did.
Now you don't.
I sat there like a veal in school going, people would say, how do you know what time anything is?
Well, you were delicious.
When it's time for math, they told me to take out your math book. When it's time to leave, a bell rang. I didn't need to.
You know what? I think we all agree, with the exception of Pip, who's wrong, that they can stop.
Yeah, fine.
Joe is progressive. He doesn't need your shit.
That's right. It's okay. You do you, Joe.
Joe's doing Joe. Yeah.
Joe's doing Joe.
Well, he's happy to see him, so it's about time he did him. All right. The Satanic Temple unveiled its statue Thursday of a goat-headed winged creature called Baphomet. Joe, when did you pose? During a First Amendment rally at the Arkansas State Capitol to protest the Ten Commandments monument already on the Capitol grounds. With Satanists, atheists, and Christians among those in attendance, several speakers called for the removal of the Ten Commandments monument or for state government officials to install Baphomet as well. The Satanic Temple said that
Baphomet.
That's a silly sounding as Jesus Christ. It's all... Yeah.
So you have a goat sitting there.
Look at the little kid. Hi, Mr. Satan.
Hello, child. You look delicious.
not a priest. It's fucking Satan.
Well, you don't know.
I think even the priest has some. I mean, even Satan has some morals.
Well, Baphomet might be hungry too.
Yeah. Well, listen. I'd rather my young child was with Baphomet than these fucking priests in Pennsylvania. I'll tell you that much right now.
Absolutely.
I'm making a stand. The Satanic Temple said the Ten Commandments monument violates constitutional freedom, religion rights, and that installation of their statue will demonstrate religious tolerance. Satanic Arkansas co-founder Ivy Forrester. That sounds like a porn star, not a satanic co-founder.
Maybe that's what he. That's what he is.
Oh, maybe
Ivy. That's a girl, isn't it?
I don't know. Helped organize the rally, said, if you're going to have one religious monument up, then it should be open to others. And if you don't agree with that, then let's just not have any at all.
I'm like, they didn't whip up a Star of David before they went straight to Baphomet?
Well, Satanists. The Jews were, you know, they were working. I don't know what to tell you.
They were busy.
It was a Jewish holiday when it went up. What do you want me to fucking tell you?
I just think it's interesting.
Of course you do. That's why we bring it to your attention. The statue of Baphomet, who is seated and... seated. He can't bother to stand. And accompanied by two smiling children...
But of course.
Can't be installed under a 2017 law that requires legislative sponsorship for consideration of any monument.
All hail Satan!
The Satanic Temple said it will sue the state, claiming religious discrimination. But when the Satanic Temple tried to join a case the ACLU had already brought against the state, the ACLU asked the court to bar the intervention. We're fine. We don't need Satan. Thank you.
Yeah, please don't let them muddy the waters here.
We understand everybody. And we have Satan fuck you.
Yeah, the you know when they throw you out, you're pretty damn out there.
Because the ACLU takes on cases of stuff that they can't stand.
Yes.
And have real and just makes their skin crawl because they have to, you know, they got to take it. But even here, they're like, fuck you.
Yeah, really. You people make my teeth hurt. Yeah.
The Ten Commandments monument was sponsored by Republican Senator Jason Rapert.
Raper?
Rapert. R-A-P-E-R-T.
Rapert.
I don't know how we pronounce it, but he's got, listen... You can't have Jason without Raper. I don't know what to tell you.
Repair.
Maybe. Install quietly in 2017. Shh.
We'll don't just sneak this up.
Yeah. Shh. We're putting this statue of the devil up. Shh.
No, this was the Ten Commandments they were putting
up. Oh, the Ten Commandments. Yes. Thou shalt
be
quiet.
Let's sneak this up in here.
Yeah. Less than 24 hours after its installation, a man drove his car into the monument, smashing it to pieces. Just a coincidence, I'm sure.
How do you know it was up? Because he had thou shalt in his grill.
Satan smash!
The same man also destroyed a Ten Commandments monument outside Oklahoma State Capitol. He travels. The Satanic Temple had originally tried to install its Baphomet statue there, but Oklahoma Supreme Court ruled the Ten Commandments monument was unconstitutional and it was taken down. The Satanic Temple then suspended its Oklahoma campaign. In an online statement, Ray Parrott said he respected protesters' First Amendment right, but also called them extremists and said, it'll be a very cold day in hell before an offensive statue will be forced upon us to be permanently erected on the grounds of Arkansas State Capitol, which the Satan said, well, that's what we're saying.
Yeah, cold day in hell. Yeah, see, Satan, they put a jacket over Satan, see?
Yeah, we're on the same
chilly.
We're on the same page. I don't see where you're arguing
Arkansas
with me.
Arkansas kind of does sound like hell, so. About 150 people attended the rally, which had a substantial police presence. A smaller group of counter-protesters holding signs with Bible verses stood quietly nearby, occasionally singing Christian song. I wonder if they sang Striper, Joe. Tell with the devil.
Ugh.
And they had candy apples.
The rally was peaceful. One speaker, Christian minister, was interrupted by a yelling counter-protester, but police escorted the man who was holding a large wooden stick away from the stage.
I can't see why.
Do people work?
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
I gotta tell you, if you're going to put up the Ten Commandments, put them all up. If we're going to put this by a courthouse.
You have opened the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's any room for any religious symbols by
you know what you do?
Buildings,
you combine it.
Government buildings.
You put up Baphomet holding the Ten Commandments on his lap and the two children reading them.
And they're engulfed in flames.
Well, that's a little
the
much.
Ten
I mean,
you've
got to pay for like kerosene or something to fuel it and shit like that.
I think it would be a beautiful nighttime display.
Great use of coal. Joe.
Joe!
A coal burning Satan statue. That sounds wonderful.
Awesome.
Everybody, and now we're putting miners to work.
with authentic sulfur smell.
Everybody holds their noses going to the car. It smells like a fart.
God, it smells like hell out here.
What do you think, Joe? A little Satan for everybody?
It's weird the way you do the reasoning on this. You could say, you could take two stands on this. You take
clearly, that's why we have a story.
You could take Jesus Christ. What?
Well, he's part of the equation. Yes, Joe, you're all over this story.
You usually could say it's a federal case, but this time it's a state case.
Well, they might go to federal court.
Well, he's a federal case.
Yeah. Help.
Help. Joe's dismissed.
Help.
What, do you want to get pardoned? Do you want me to call president? He's in West Virginia right now rallying up the troops.
Joe's gone bye-bye.
Here's a shout-out to Joe.
Tuesday, where the liberals beat up on me. Anyway.
It doesn't just have to be Tuesday. We're talking about a field trip. Won't that be a long flight with you sitting in the middle?
I want the window seat. Fuck you.
All right, no. I get the aisle.
Yeah. Are we gonna fly Southwest?
I don't know who the fuck we're flying. Because
right. Like I always say, Southwest, they don't wear uniforms. Guy comes up to you, want some peanuts? Who the fuck are you? Peanuts. But anyway. You could look at the... yeah, it's weird the way you look at it. I mean, we put a Baphomet. You could look... Well, the Ten Commandments are for good.
Oh, well, that's...
Let me finish. Baphomet is for evil. You have good and you have evil.
Joe's not done here. He's setting the groundwork.
So that you could have that argument. One's good, one's for evil. Okay? Separation of church and state. Either they're both there or they're both gone.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion... They're both gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. So we agree.
Yeah.
We all agree.
Yeah.
Get rid of them or allow them all. Listen. It's either or.
Either they're both because it's separation. And sometimes they have the Ten Commandments. It's separation of church and state.
Yeah, absolutely. The
Ten Commandments are based on the laws that we try to live by. But it's separation of church and state. If they're putting up that, I know why they're putting that. I don't agree what they did. I obviously don't believe in the Church of Satan or his works.
What?
Satan, that's what I tell. But still, they have a point.
Yeah, you know, they do.
You could say, well, Satanism isn't a religion. That's up to debate. But still, it's...
Well, I mean, we've had Dave Harris on here. He's like, no, it's atheism. It's essentially... You know, his Church of Satan is essentially atheism.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you didn't call Dave on this. And I'm not being a dick. I'm surprised you didn't try to call
I'm
him.
I'm surprised you're not being a dick. No. I'm not talking about it, but every time we talk about this shit, you know.
It's Satan, mm-hmm. Porno, Satan,
yeah,
porno, porno.
I think we could cover this without his insights on it. It's not really, you know, this is a constitutional.
Yeah, we don't. No, either they both stay or they both go.
But here's the problem for the Church of Satan. I don't really see a court in the land ruling for them. this is going to go to the courts, and I don't, you know.
I said before, the ACLU has stood by people that they despise and stand in lockstep with because their cause is the cause of the ACLU, and they have to sit there. They've stood by the Klan. They've stood by
but not too close to the burning.
But
cross.
Still, and despise them as we all. But here they're like, "Fuck you."
not doing
but,
it.
But you know, we get it. Fuck you.
I gotta tell you though, I would feel uncomfortable.
Go to hell,
Arkansas. We're there. Yeah. I would feel uncomfortable walking into a court and you see fucking the devil looking at you. It's a little intimidating.
No, you know what? Because I have the perspective of not being religious, I think that there's nobody that can. With beyond the shadow of a doubt, say 100% that one is more valid than the other.
My question, my takeaway from this is, why do you carry a large wooden stick to a protest?
I don't
making
know.
Popsicles?
I know I why. Know. I know why.
Why?
Well, it's going through somebody's heart eventually.
Oh, okay.
I tell you though, that statue, that satanic statue, would be perfect in front of Nassau County Traffic Court. Because that's what it's all about. That's like, that should be their symbol. Those pricks.
Well, no, they're erecting a statue of Cerberus because you're definitely going through the gates of hell right there.
Who's Cerberus?
The three-headed dog.
Yes.
In Greek mythology.
Oh. Didn't the Ghostbusters fight him?
They may have. I think there was a three-headed dog.
I seem to remember Rick Moranis was running around something or another.
There might have been. I don't remember it that well.
All right, we'll do a little comics, and then, wow, look at that. We're all agreeing, Michelle.
I know,
except
this
for the
is
one
scary.
Thing where Pip was wrong earlier.
When Pip was wrong.
Yeah, with the clocks. I mean, Pip are fucking conservative ways.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
Oh, this was almost breaking news.
Yeah.
A nice, juicy story. Each year, Purdue University's annual Boiler Gold Rush event serves as a week-long introduction to campus for incoming freshmen and a way for the school's newest students to get fucked. No, it doesn't say that. Sorry, USA Today. I read that wrong. To forge long-lasting bonds while learning their way around. But this year, the event ended with thousands of students bonding together in opposition of a comedian.
Oh.
Accused of sexually harassing a student leader in front of more than 7,000 of her peers. CJ, you're not the only one who likes to grab tits in front of a live studio audience.
That's pretty big. 7,000, that's a pretty good audience.
Sure. On Saturday night, a comedian performed as part of our BGR, Boiler Gold Rush Student Orientation Closing Session, Purdue officials said in a statement provided to the Indy Star. Accounts differ as to what exactly happened on stage, but some portions of the performance were clearly inappropriate and contrary to the university's values of respect and support to all. The comedian referred to in the university statement is Andy Gross. That's his name, not my adjective. A ventriloquist and illusionist known for his touring show and YouTube channel that has amassed millions of views. We will not work with this comedian again and are proud of our students who are standing up and voicing their concerns about the performance, the university located in Lafayette, Indiana, and added. Students in attendance, including freshman Andora Fess of San Francisco, of course she was, said Gross's show was unfunny, distasteful throughout. Joe, were we in the Midwest?
Band!
but
yeah, it's like Davin's Den tour. That's the highlights.
The show. But took a troubling turn for the worse when he called a student up to the stage to serve as a volunteer. Now suck my cup. Not exactly.
That's a different show.
It most certainly is. He brought up one of our supers, which is a leader in our BGR orientation program, and he proceeds to harass her, Fess explained. He made her stand closer and closer to him and made a joke about that giving him an erection, making his pants seem to say, "Let me out, let me out," referring to his genitals. Fess said Gross then made the student stand back-to-back with him, despite her apparent discomfort. While standing back-to-back, Fess said Gross made the student touch his upper thigh. I made a joke about at least getting a feel. After performing a magic trick, sure, she made it stand.
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, it's an illusion. It looks 10 inches. It's really not. I was pretty angry.
He's wearing skinny pants.
Yes. That'll fucking tape that shit right down.
Yeah, I will.
I was pretty angry and just in shock that the seemingly very famous person, really from YouTube likes?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Different world, dude.
Yeah, different
world that's
now.
Changing. Yeah. And you know it. Because that motherfucker comes in headlines, and then we get a barrel clown around his ass.
Not so sure anymore.
Mm. Not this guy, but you.
That the seemingly very famous person was treating women like this at school, and he continued to make jokes at the expense of women. He made a Matt Lauer joke, Fess said. It was just very distasteful. And once he started doing that, people in the audience started to get up. He just kept making sexual jokes, even as the crowd was leaving. Fess said after Gross finished, held off, a representative from the university took the stage and said, "The performance does not represent Purdue and its values." Students also made a statement by creating the hashtag Andy Gross is Gross on social media. By the way, it's still trending. Just moments after.
What do you check before showtime?
Sure, I got to tweet about the show, don't I?
Yeah, okay.
Doing my due diligence, stupid. Attendants were spreading the word about Gross. Here's some tweets. If anyone saw the show at Purdue tonight, I hope that you can join me in boycotting Andy Gross. We need to recognize sexual harassment for what it is and not let it go unpunished. No means no, no matter where you are and who is watching. Hashtag Andy Gross is gross. Let's see. Here's a dude who's obviously trying to get laid. Hashtag BGR18. Hashtag Andy Gross is gross. Huge discomfort at Andy Gross's performance.
That's what he's doing.
Exactly.
That's what he's doing, a fucking white knight asshole.
It does look white, pasty. Yeah. Huge discomfort at Andy Gross's performance at BGR. He made us all sit on dildos. No.
Yeah. Right on, Mike. Who had to pass him back? Do you have the MC? Pass back the dildos. Make sure you count them, too.
Very uncomfortable sexual jokes, participants crying afterwards. Tears in audience as well. Many started walking out. Eventually all did. TLs and supers are apologizing. This isn't BGR. This isn't us. This is me. Leia, not a princess, said, "Pretty sure Purdue students are willing to put our rivalry with IU, Indiana University, on hold so that we can put all of our vengeful energy into ending Andy Gross's career. Andy Gross is gross. Fest said Gross did not acknowledge or apologize for the offense during his performance. As of Sunday afternoon, he's not commenting on the incident on social media. I believe he still is not. The Indy Star reached out for comment. I got to be honest with you. It doesn't sound like sexual harassment to me.
I don't think that it was I mean, I didn't hear the jokes he was telling. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Unless it's like, how'd you like to suck my dick? And then he makes you suck his dick.
Or pretends to make you. You know.
I don't think a comedian in this environment has the power. Because harassment is about power.
I mean, I don't know the whole of it, but it's...
Well, that's what he was trying to learn.
Yeah, he was. But it seems like what... He said, oh, stand next to me. Oh, I'm hot. That sounds like a lot of comedy acts, you know? I mean, it doesn't sound like it was so egregious. Let's ruin his career.
I'm having a... Trying to make a... I wish I could... They had a video of the act.
Yeah.
Because you could YouTube it.
Yeah, because basically the way it is, it's like, made his student touch his upper thigh, made a joke about at least getting a feel. I don't know if it was inappropriate to... I don't really think it was.
Inappropriate is different from sexual harassment. Right. If you wanted to make the argument to me that given the environment and given the times we live in, it was inappropriate, I might give you some rope on that.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, you know what? You got a point. You got another situation where you are. Maybe not so much. But to call it sexual harassment...
Yeah, and if the same act was done in a club... it's probably his club. You know, it's the same act he probably does in a club.
Yeah. Probably does the same act in colleges, too.
Probably.
I mean, yeah, this guy said, you know, I'm sure this isn't his only college gig.
Yeah.
Probably not.
I wish I could see.
I wish you could fucking form a sentence.
I wish I could, it's tough because I wish I could see the act before I could really form an opinion on this.
It's a ventriloquist and an illusion. How genius do you think it is?
Yeah.
Well, we're not saying that, you know, this
He's a YouTube sensation. Are we really cutting ground here?
Is there anything on the
YouTube? Yeah, you can go YouTube, Andy.
Yeah,
Gross.
See if we can YouTube that. Because I don't know, you know, it's...
From what was described, and this is like the most condemning way to describe it, the way they describe it, it still doesn't sound like sexual harassment. It sounds like jokes. Are jokes sexual harassment?
But you want to know something? It's like during the whole story, you're like, oh, for Christ's sakes. And then, though, you know, Gross made the student touch his upper thigh and made a joke about it, at least getting a feel after performing a magic trick. Now, with the way politically correct and the Me Too movement, especially on college campuses, on him, you think that was smart to do?
No, I don't think it was smart to do, but I don't think he sexually harassed them.
I don't think he sexually harassed them.
That's what I'm saying. That's like calling somebody a racist. It's a loaded fucking charge.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You better back it up on it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, what he said, all right, you know what? Maybe he chose wrong. You know, maybe inappropriate if you want to do that. If you wanted to make that argument, this is not sexual harassment.
No.
She can move away at any time,
or she could get off the stage and just go, you know, screw you, buddy.
Yeah, fucking slap him. I'm not going to touch your thigh. There's 7,000 people there. This isn't a power thing. They're not alone in a place.
I bet. You know what? Though I bet if he did the arms there, it would be a whole to do as
well. I don't think you could write the arms now. I don't think you could write that bit. I think if you did the, like, if I went to do the arms with Pip, I'd have to go, Pip, you're going to act as my arms, but please stand 10 feet across the room as we do this bit.
Yeah.
Because you know, you've seen people do the arms, and again, if you don't know the arms, then you don't listen to this fucking show, and shame on you. it's an old vaudeville trick where somebody, you act out an improv, and I use that in quotes, where somebody acts out a scene and they're acting as your arms. And what happens is the woman is usually pressed against the man, and a guy, against the back, and a guy's like, oh, I feel your boobs, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then maybe she'll have...
Where are my car keys? Oh, they're in my pocket. Oh, go lower.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Shit like that. I would think doing the arms... It would be worse than what he did here.
No, he was working up to it. Everybody
loved it. Working up to the arms.
Where you guys going? I got more.
Oh, it's hysterical.
Yeah. So what he did on stage was actually just over the bra action. He was making his way under, but they weren't having it.
Sure, you know, he's got one hand on the puppet, another one on the watch, and then he's going to slide a hand on the boob. He's doing Joe's move. In front of an audience, as Joe's move should be done. We've learned that. He's taking what Joe did to the next level, just performing in front of a bigger audience.
7,000 people.
Joe was workshopping open micing the tit crab. He's this guy's headlining the tit crab. Say fuck it.
Yeah. Smooth.
That's what Joe hopes to bring it to someday. I don't know. I don't think I've ever had a woman touch me on stage.
There was never reason for a woman to touch you on stage.
No, I don't bring women up there. Like, I'm pretty sure off stage they've grabbed my ass on a rare occasion. I've had women flash me.
Whoa.
Yeah, I've had women flash me. I've had a woman throw her underwear at me.
They probably thought it was laundry day.
Needless to say, it was no longer on her. I've signed breasts. This is all years ago, though, not recently.
Yeah.
You've gotten older.
Well, in this current climate, I don't think that that would still happen.
That hurt, huh? I hit a nerve.
Yeah, in this current climate.
I don't think that's going to happen. Baphomet. What are you talking about, Stephen? Get a horn up your ass. I don't got time for you.
Oh, boy. We hit a nerve.
Yeah, I don't...
Oh, Pip was saying something.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We all are, usually.
Yeah, we all are.
Object of the game, but 3 fucking hours.
I don't think in this current climate it was the smartest move for him to do, and you have to, you know, if he was reading the room and he could tell that they were more of a, you know, women's rights, you know, don't go there.
Here's the defense. Now, I don't know if his whole act is online, but a lot of times these guys are picked up at NACA conventions. These are conventions where all the colleges come, and they see the performers, and they choose who they want to see. So they see part of the act. Also, you can't tell me these kids didn't go to YouTube, and they got other reviews of shit. So some of the fault should be on them, unless he's just debuting this new shit, which I don't think he's doing. This does not strike me as the type of act that's writing a lot.
No.
So, I mean, so they should have some fault, too. Yeah, sometimes you got to know who you're hiring.
Yeah, you do.
You don't hire Gilbert Gottfried for the church. You know who you're hiring.
And there was so much cum coming out of his face that I couldn't know where to go. Sit down, Father. Yeah, that would never work.
Yeah, no.
Unless it's just a priest retreat.
Because Gilbert, he will build on a Jesus closer. He will build on a dirty and he just built and takes it further. And you're in the fucking green room hearing the audience laughing. And you're just laughing your balls off. It's just further and further.
He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He does not care.
But these kids would hire him and go, why isn't he doing the parrot from Aladdin? Yeah. I don't understand. When's he going to do the Aflac? You know, they don't get it.
Yeah.
I have seen comics hit on women from the stage, which I always find uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You've seen that too. We know somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I always find that. Now, if he was doing that.
That's really annoying.
Not
and obnoxious.
Sexual harassment, but very lechy.
We know who we're talking about. Yeah. Well, yeah. Years ago, I was working with him one weekend, and Joanne goes, "Can I come to the show?" I go, "No, why not?" Because I'm going to have to pry him off of you, fucking guy. You know?
Wow.
The question is: are we coming to the point where colleges aren't going to want comics, and comics aren't going to want colleges? They pay good money.
I mean,
if your career could end on this.
I don't know what the what it's like at the colleges anymore. I do know that you know, the whole idea of feminism and equal rights and everything is much more powerful and much more in vogue, if you want, on college campuses than in the mainstream even.
Guys like us will not work college. Even guys like Seinfeld and stuff like that will no longer colleges. Now you ask, well, who will
put us in the same category as Seinfeld?
Well, thank you, but who will? Let's go to a hipster club in Brooklyn. Or you come to see the comedy show that I went to see while my band was playing across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Last college I did was a couple of years ago. It was West Point. Even the cadets were a little uptight.
Yeah.
Then I remember doing, I would say, Johnson and Wales in Rhode Island.
Oh, my buddy's son goes there.
Right. So like maybe like 12, 13, 14 years ago, like a long time ago,
yeah.
I did it. And I had a joke about, this is how old it is, Ethiopian restaurant jokes.
Oh, I remember that joke.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. It's been a long time.
What's on the menu? Nothing?
Yeah, when do you go
huddle, there? Huddle,
no,
huddle,
when huddle. When do you go to an Ethiopian restaurant? When you're craving nothing? Right, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. And so a heavyset black girl was offended by that.
Mm-hmm.
And in a club, I would have ripped her a new one.
Right.
But here I just go, okay. Because even then, that long ago, you know you can't fight.
You're not going to win.
But now I've played college, like, gigs, like, off campus,
yeah.
Like at bars where college kids hang out and it's all college kids.
Right.
And they're a bunch of fucking animals and I love them.
Yeah.
But the kids that hang out on that fucking campus,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them are looking to complain. It's a hard gig.
It really is. Yeah. It really is.
I've done well at them. I've done well, but I haven't done one since the Me Too thing.
Yeah, it would probably be really difficult. I mean, you don't have an overtly sexual act,
No, but
though.
I talk to... But now I've been... Because I a lot of times when I do the colleges, I talk to them a lot.
Yeah.
Because maybe not all the material was going to relate to them.
Right.
But now I'd be like, well, what if I fucking... Because, you know, on stage, I'll be a little flirty.
Yeah.
Like, or even, like, on stage, like, if I'm doing a show and a girl's got, like, big boobs. You know, I'm like, oh, I got a girl. Listen, I don't care about you people having a good time. I got a view of her. She's laughing, bouncing up and down. Best show ever. You know, which is a little lechy, but you know, everybody's having a good time with it and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, now if I was doing that, you know, sometimes I have young girls in the audience go, I can't even talk to you. I don't even know if I can talk to you. I'll get arrested.
Yeah.
Because I don't, you can't talk to the girls anymore.
No, I know. It's different.
So, well, it's so much harder to get laid at these gigs now.
I bet.
What's the matter, Joe? Like you weren't thinking it.
The young girls are still getting it though.
I don't. How does a Matt Lauer joke without? How's it like? He did a Matt Lauer joke, but they don't tell you what the joke is.
Yeah.
And how does that make the article?
I don't know. I think that they're trying to give some kind of concrete answers to, well, what the hell was he doing that was so bad? You know.
Unless Andy Grossgo and that Matt Lauer had it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's where you ask questions. He made a Matt Lauer joke. What was the joke?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, press, yeah. Enemy of the fucking people. Bad journalism right here.
Uh-huh, it is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's not, but this was bad journalism.
But I'm saying, yeah, this is bad journalism.
I mean,
right,
because it doesn't clear anything up. It's like, yeah, he did. Was it at Matt's expense? Was it he was on siding with him and saying, you know, he got railroaded?
Here's what we're going to do. You be a guest. I'm going to be Matt Lauer. We're going to do an act out. Is that what he did?
Yeah, I know. Come in my office. I'm going to close the rape lock door. You know,
it's just,
I mean,
that,
like,
these kids are so protected that, you know, and brainwashed, mm-hmm. that every, you know, that I, how are they going to make it in the real world?
Why can't these women learn how to get felt up like we did?
Oh, God.
But no, wrong message?
Yeah, it's very
sometimes
much.
Sometimes I'm off target.
Yeah, a little bit.
But people were crying in the audience. Now that's where you really lose me. Was, is there anything crying in the audience? Unless he's going suck my dick, cunt. Unless he turns into Otto and George up there.
Well, Otto, yeah. And George. Could you imagine Otto and George?
Oh, wow.
Now? I can, well, no, he's dead.
But I mean, if he was still alive. Of course, if he was alive, stupid. He's not going to sit there and rot. You know?
Well,
anyway.
Get him embalmed.
Yeah, that's true. But that,
George could still work.
Otto and George. Funny. I'm surprised the two Georges didn't get there to get to.
Why should they? Yeah, that'd be great show. Why do they have to retire? They got all the laughs anyway. Yeah. Vince and Otto were holding them back.
Yeah, George and George. They're George and George.
Dueling Georges.
That's funny.
Ventriloquism humor. Yeah, I don't. I mean, the crying. It's like, you know. It's like I wanna understand. I don't want to call you a snowflake, but I gotta call you a snowflake here. It's a little much.
I'm just wondering, like, without hearing it again, I don't really know, but I mean, it really doesn't, like, people were crying in the audience, you know.
I mean, you gotta you gotta relax.
Was he throwing up pictures on the big screen of like fetuses, you know, or, like, what was he doing that was like so
that's a fucking show.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, well, you know, well, I'm gonna do my act, watch this abortion above me, you know, like, what was he doing that was so terrifying? I don't understand.
That was in the video player breaks. What are you gonna do now?
Oh, well.
That was 10 minutes right there.
But if this guy's doing well, like, it sounds like he was having a rough set.
Yeah, you think?
No, but like, if he's doing well, are we all laughing at this?
What do you mean?
Like, if they were laughing at his jokes up until then, if this girl complained, would people in the audience go, really? Really? You know, like, if everybody was buying into what he was doing.
Yeah.
It sounds like he was having a bad night at the office.
It sure does. And it just, like, it struck some people wrong, and then it seemed to go like brush fire. Like, you know how sometimes, like, you guys were talking about when you're doing a gig where it's like, say it's a corporate gig, it's like people are uncomfortable to laugh in front of their boss at certain jokes. You know, that's like, oh my God, I shouldn't laugh at that because maybe that's not PC enough and I'll be in trouble. Like, oh, I saw you laughing at that joke at the thing. You know, and so I'm thinking that maybe in this, they're like, oh, should I be offended? I think I should be offended, you know?
Maybe. Herd mentality.
Yeah, you know, that's I was just going to say that, because sometimes you get into a room and there is that mentality,
mm-hmm.
that they just have this freaking attitude about it.
Well, this is what I talked about with Bronzy last week when we talked about blaming the audience. I go, oh, sometimes it's the audience.
Well,
sometimes,
you know,
they suck.
You know what? I mean, I reserve the right to completely turn it around if there was some audio of it and I was like, oh my God, that's really harsh.
But you know, you what? Know? Then that should have been in the article.
It should have
been.
And
I looked at a couple articles And it was all the same shit.
Nothing to explain. Exactly. Well, what happened?
I'll show you. We're going to make a hashtag. Are you? Is that how we're fighting back now?
That's how they do it.
I'm always the one on this show to defend the kids.
Yeah.
Go, you know what? You don't understand. You got this generation wrong. This, that, the other. When they do shit like this, it makes it real tough. Makes it real fucking tough.
Yeah, it's like they're running out of...
But I'm going to be... I'm sorry. Did I...
I was just going to say they're running them out of town on the rails. You know, I mean, like...
Rails?
I don't know.
Was it 1913?
Yeah, no, it was the 1800s.
I know, but there's still a trains.
Yeah, you know what? They didn't even allow them to get on the train. You know, they just said, you,
get
walk
on your
the rails.
Get on your ride, mister.
Yeah. Yes.
We're assuming here. That's the one thing I just...
Well, they said they cried.
I'm assuming... We're assuming that his act was not enough to make them cry. We're assuming, and we don't usually assume on this show. And that...
Because there's nothing written in the article. You know, if something... Yeah. Not even any of the kids said, oh, and then when he did this... The worst they got is he grabbed the thigh, and we go, okay, maybe that was wrong.
Yeah, like I said, I wish...
Unless he grabbed the thigh, moved his hand over, looked at his watch, and go, hold on, here's the move, and fucking fingered her. If he did that, no. Listen, she's not your puppet. Get your hands out of her.
Like I said, I wish we had a video so we could either go, oh, for Christ's sakes, lighten up, or look at it and go, you know, a little bit, you know.
But none of us are saying he was completely appropriate.
No,
we're all just saying this wasn't, or at least Pip and I are just saying this wasn't sexual harassment and nothing to make you cry. Nobody's saying, well, you know, what, you know, he was in the absolute right. We're not saying that. We're just like, you know what, fucking slow down. Maybe we don't have to end his fucking career because of this.
I'd just like to see the video. If there was a video, I'd just like to see the video.
Think it surfaced.
Yeah.
I mean, unless, like I said, unless like, he's treating her like a bowling ball and you know, making her vagina talk, we're going to do the vagina monologue.
Oh my god!
Well, he's a ventriloquist. He can. him pretending to be, he's like penis. I want to get out of here. He's a fucking ventriloquist. They do voices. I can picture Robin Williams doing that shit, putting his hand down there, let me out. You know, I can picture him doing that. What is wrong with us?
It just goes
to my point. You know what? Not everybody should see comedy. Some of you fuckers don't deserve to laugh. It's just the way it is. So fat guys don't wear skinny jeans, and not everybody should laugh. I'm making my own commandments. Put them in front of a fucking courthouse. Let's go.
Well, like I said, the way comedy is changing is, like I said, when I was at that show in Brooklyn, it's like I didn't even crack a smile. People all around me were in hysterics. And I'm just listening to this shit. I was telling a couple of my comedy friends, it's not even like, I'll get up on stage and they'll love me. No, they'd run me out right away, you know, because I wouldn't have a chance.
That's different than sexual harassment. That's just different than
humor.
I know.
I really don't know.
But if those guys went to a regular comedy show, they'd probably be offended by the whole damn thing.
Or they would have had a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't think it's smart in this day and age to be calling people on stage and to be touching them.
No.
I don't think it's a smart move.
No, I don't think so
either. But I don't think that's sexual harassment either.
No, not necessarily.
If anything, it wouldn't be sexual harassment. It'd be sexual assault. It's not fucking harassment. He put his hand on her. It's fucking assault.
If he did.
Actually, it wouldn't even probably be sexual assault. This would probably be simple assault. This would be assault. Mm-hmm. Misdemeanor assault. Mm-hmm. That's what this would be. So they're all fucked up. Fuck these kids. Stupid liberals.
Wow.
Taken care of. Tell you what, Joe, they're ruining our country.
Okay. Can I take it?
All right. We'll come back. We'll do some Ann Jackson. Don't go anywhere.